All right.
Gathered to worship. Isn't it fun to have a place packed out and here ready to worship? We've got a bunch of worship. We're expanding the amount of worship we're doing after the message so we can connect and we can grow in him as we respond. I'm excited that you're here. I hope you are too. I just want to say thank you to all those who came to our prayer summit. It was packed with people and we prayed up a storm. So special thank you to all those that did that. We're in a little bit of a conundrum in our church, and here's the problem. I want to tell you our problem. We're having too many people, all right? Oh, man, problems. Okay, so what are we trying to do? As people are signing up, we're noticing that some people are not able to come because there's too many people. So I'm not asking you to stop coming. I'm not. What we're going to do, and this had been a plan that we'd been talking about, is that possibility of coming back to two services again so we can have more, all the people that want to come that can come. And so we already have two services with our family service and this one. And so we're going to switch back to a 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock service. Not next week. That next week is Thanksgiving. But the next week, so we can open up more chairs and have more people come and be a part of our service. Our children's ministry is going to have children's ministry during the first service. So if you're parents and you want to bring your kids, that is first service at 9 o'clock. So 9 and 11. 9 and 11. We were going to make it a little later, but I know students, you need to get back before 1 o'clock. So we're making sure that we pulled that back to 11 o'clock. So 9-11, not next week, but the week after. So let's dig in to some prayer before we get into the message here. Let's pray. Oh, my Heavenly Father, you are good all the time, and I want to soak that in. I want to experience that. I know that theologically, but I need to feel it. In this war-torn world, in this place where it seems like there's just so much bad that's happening, I need to focus on your goodness. I can't do that on my own, Lord. I need your power to do that in and through me. So I invite you now to help us to focus on your goodness. Not only focus on your goodness, but God, could you build in us life habits that we could understand and just experience your goodness every single day? I ask this by Jesus' powerful, powerful name. Amen. Amen. There was a great intellectual, G.K. Chesterton, and a literary, very much genius, a lot of people would say. He was alive around the time of C.S. Lewis, and he had this thought experiment. Here's his thought experiment. He said, let's say you were living in a hotel, okay? Living in a hotel. But the good thing about living in a hotel is you get room service every day, all right? Room service every day. But can I tell you, room service isn't always on time, and sometimes the food is there, and once in a while they'll miss a room service time, right? There's a beautiful solarium where you can go out and see the beauty around you, but sometimes it's closed, and the wallpaper is coming off the wall a little bit, and so it's a little dingy, and sometimes the elevators don't work. Okay, that's the hotel you're living in, okay? Got it. He said, now imagine two scenarios. Number one, you thought you were in a 5-star hotel. How would you feel? What? You'd complain. You'd go, what? Where is the service I should expect? Come on. What's your problem? Right? Come on. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I need some vocal. He said, but what happens if you thought you were in a prison, in a war-torn world? How would you feel then? Yeah, hallelujah. It's like, I get food. Well, I get to go out and see this beauty once in a while. I know it's spotty. I know it doesn't happen all the time. But this is beautiful. G.K. Chesterton said this. He said once he gave up trying to be optimistic about creating the perfection on earth. He said, all right, we're going to try and make this place better, but I'm going to give up the idea of making perfection happen on earth. He said he thought he would become depressed, but you know what happened to him? He said, quote, his heart sang for joy like a bird in spring when all of a sudden he realized perfection is not here, it's up there. And while I'm here, there are glimpses. C.S. Lewis calls them rumors of glory. Lewis said that we walk through this dark, dark forest, and it's the world. We're in this war-torn zone, and then all of a sudden, you get this shot of light that comes on a path. If you've been hiking the forest, you know that, right? And you just stop, and you smell the pine needles, and you go, oh, this is beautiful. That's a rumor of glory, of the perfection that will come. And until we stop, we find clearings, and we sit and we soak that in. But we realize that we wander around in a world that is not perfect and will not be perfect until Jesus comes back. And so with all that, the reason why I'm saying that is this, because often we complain about the world, and this is so horrible, and life is bad. It is. Come on, life is hard. But because if that's all we see, we don't see the goodness of God that breaks through again and again. And we need to just say, God, give me eyes to see. Give me ears to hear. I want to experience your goodness. That is the prayer for this whole series. I want to experience your goodness. Because he says in his word, God's goodness is generous. He says, I'm pursuing you. Your cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will pursue you all the days of your life. My goodness is going to run you down. And I want you to experience that. This is the weird message of Job. Have you ever read the book of Job and go, why is that one in there? Like, of all the different stories that God could have put in this poor guy gets beat up again and again, and he's just lying in sores, just going, oh. If anybody had a chance to say life is horrible, that would be him. That would be him, right? And in the midst of this, then friends come and say, well, you must have done something wrong. And it's like, oh, now he gets beat up mentally. At the end, he asks for a conversation with God. And so God doesn't tell him everything that's going on in heaven. You know what he tells him? Were you there when I did this, when I did this, and I did this? And then he sneaks in little pictures of, he says, you know the wild donkey that's out in the desert? I give him water. And what he's actually saying, God is saying, I am irrationally merciful. I am wastefully wonderful. At the end of the book, he says, I give and give and give and give. Basically, open your eyes to see how much you have. And at the end of the book, Job gets it. This is what Job does at the end of the book. He gets married again, has a bunch of kids, and then he lists his daughters. And the names he gives his daughter, you know, Old Testament names are like very telling about how the parents are feeling at the time. Like, hi, my name is Depression. Parents had a bad time when they're having me, man. All right, right? That's Old Testament names. The Old Testament names that Job gave his daughters were Dove, Cinnamon, and eyeshadow. He's enjoying life. And then what he does, he gives his inheritance to his daughters too, which is wastefully wonderful. And the message at the end of Job is this. Listen, Job gets it. I'm just going to be wastefully wonderful. I'm just going to be extravagant in my goodness because I've experienced the goodness of God. Even though I couldn't see it. God's goodness is generous. God is extravagantly good. God creates wonders so we could wonder. And this is what the first subject we tackled in this series. How many people here, I wouldn't mind a little show of hands, how many people here actually say some kind of grace before meals? Anybody? Anybody? Okay. Anybody say it afterwards? Oh, yeah, cool. Salvation Army people return thanks. It's like really cool. I go, wow, they sing afterwards. They return thanks because it might be really bad. They shouldn't thank God then. And what's the Dutch? Anybody Dutch here? Yeah, okay. I want to try and get this right. Eight smakluk. That's right? Yeah, okay, good. Yeah. Eight smakluk. That's great. If you're going to stop and say grace, you know what you're doing? You're saying, thank you, God, for your goodness. Can that be just a little, you know, thank you, God, for the food. I got that one in. Can that be like a little signal that you get? No, I'm going to stop. This is going to be a signal for me to stop and say, thank you for your goodness to me, that I have food, that I have taste buds. I can see this stuff. Just let that be a signal, because God created wonders so we could wonder. Next, we talked about God sends waves of mercy to all those who turn to him. None of us deserve God's mercy, not one of us. In the moments of our pure honesty, we know it. We feel the guilt. We don't know what to do with that. And yet God in his mercy forgives, and he forgives, and he's, remember we talked about he's long-nosed. He's long-suffering. It takes him a long time to build up anger before he judges. He is long-suffering. In Lamentations 3:22, it says this, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. You go, wow, really? He was planning on consuming us. Yeah, because of his great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. Somebody here needs to hear that today. You think God's compassions have failed you, that he's given up on you. This verse is for you. I know it. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God sends waves of mercy to all those who turn to him. Then on top of that, he adopts me as his child. You think it's good enough that I get forgiven, I get to go to heaven. But now he says, no, I want to lavish my love on you, on my goodness. We get to be father and child, and there's going to be this two-way conversation. There's this security that we have together. It's this whole living relationship that is utterly fantastic. Once you start to step into an experience that he adopts us as his child. Isn't it enough that he's given us life? Beautiful, colorful world to live in, with a taste of music that lifts our souls that we will soon experience here. Isn't it more than enough that he forgives our sins and grants us mercy? Isn't it crazy enough that he lets us be his children? He invites us, all undeserved. That would be enough to stop and put a period and say, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. And yet, there's more. There is more. He says this. Ask, okay? It's good enough that I'm your dad, but guess, ask me for things. Ask me for things. What? How many have ever had parents that say that? Okay, ask me for things. No, most of the times your parents are going, go away, right? So no, he said, no, ask me for things. What kind of parent is that? What kind of parent? It's somebody who's extremely generous. Six parts of the Lord's prayers. You know the Lord's prayer, all right? You know the whole hallowed be thy name thing, okay? Six of those are asking. So Jesus is teaching us to pray, saying, listen, here's how you pray. And six of the points are ask this. So this is actually us asking for things. He tells us to ask for his kingdom to come, to ask for his will to be done. We're supposed to ask for our daily bread, to have forgiveness, and we're supposed to ask not to be led into temptation. Now, when you first hear these things, you go, that doesn't seem like an exciting ask. Like, isn't God kind of already doing these things, right? It's like, ask me that my will be done. You are all powerful. You just make it happen, right? But he says, no. You need to ask for it to be done. You don't want me to sin, do you, God? No. So don't lead me into temptation. Good, you asked, but why didn't you just do it in the first place? Because I want you to ask. Asking. In fact, God says we need to pray that he would send more laborers into the field so more people would find out about him. You go, don't you want that? Yes, I do. God says, I want this desperately. That's why I want you to ask. And then you start to feel the power of that. Certainly he wouldn't want us to waste time to ask for something that was going to happen anyway. Why? Because I believe in God's sovereignty. God is king and large and in charge, but he has designed a system where many things he wants won't get done
unless we pray for them. Prayer is the one action that invites His action. And at the end of the day, He gets the glory for it all. This is a staggering reason why we should be praying. As one theologian put, though God is sovereign and all-powerful, He limited Himself concerning the affairs of this earth to working through humans, particularly in the area of prayer. James 4:2 says, you do not have what you want because you don't ask God for it. There are some things in your life right now, okay, everybody in this, there are things in your life right now you want, but you don't have. And the reason is this. You never ask God for it. You never ask God for it. God invites you and me to shape history through prayer. One theologian described it this way. God, in His sovereignty, built the skeleton. Some things are going to happen in this world, whether we want it to or not. Guess what? Jesus came at the right time because God just planned it that way. Guess what? Jesus is going to come again. Why? Because God is God, and He's just going to come back at the perfect time. But we are allowed to pack the meat in around the bones. We're allowed to shape human history. And so as Hebrews 4:16 says, so let us come boldly to the throne of God, of our gracious God. There we will receive mercy. We'll find grace to help us when we need it most. I've discipled new Christians. And often we talk about prayer to begin with, right? Prayer. You should pray. And they say, okay, well, what do I talk about? God knows everything. Hey, God, this is Ben. Oh, you know that. Hope you have a good day. Oh, you already have a good day. It's like, what do you talk about, right? They say, what do you talk about? And then usually people say, it's just so hard. Why is it so hard? You know, you don't have to crawl on your knees. You just have to talk, right? Why is prayer so hard? And can I just say it's hard for everybody? Me too, all right? Me too. It just is. It's a battle. Let me go through some reasons why it might be hard. First of all, in our Canadian culture, we're reluctant to ask people for help or favors. We're Canadians, and I'm sorry about that. I just am. We don't want to ask people for favors. And I have that all through my life. There's somebody standing over there that could do exactly what I want them to do, but I don't want to put them out. And so I go do it because I don't want to put them out, right? And some of us have that all over us. I hate to bother you, but could you please pass the salt? This is a world-changing event, right? Oh, sorry, hate to bother you. I can't reach. Yeah, could you pass the salt? Whew, I asked for something, right? I think some people treat prayer like that. I don't want to bother God. He's like busy in the Middle East or something, you know, doing something big. You're not bothering God. In fact, He almost begs us to ask. The second reason why we do less prayer is because our secular world is a worldview of naturalism. Carl Sagan, famous astronomer, says this, that the cosmos is all that there ever will or ever was or ever will be. This is what we're taught all the time, that we just live in a natural world and there is nothing supernatural. And in fact, anything that is supernatural is mocked and laughed at. And we chide each other going, huh, yeah, they believe that, right? But guess what? If there is a God and He spoke into existence the universe, He is by definition outside of nature. He is supernatural. And so there is so much more than the natural world. There's so much more. But because we're taught this through radio and media, we're taught this all the way through school, it just starts to become the norm that we don't actually ask God because it's for those kind of Christians, right? The crazy ones. I'm not going to be a crazy one. I'm going to be intelligent and smart and not actually ask God for anything. Colossians 2:8 says this. See to it that no one takes you captive. How? By horrible sin? No, by philosophy and empty deceit. It's an idea captivity. Have we been captive by ideas? According to human traditions, according to elementary mental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. In other words, he's saying this, there's thought ideas that will capture you, and they're driven by a spiritual world. And then 1 Peter 4, 7 says this. Okay. Start to wake up. Wake up. Okay, wake up, church. Wake up. It says, the end of all things is near. This world is rolling on and on to the end. Therefore, be alert. Be alert. Start to go, okay, what's going on? What's going on? God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to pray? What do you want to talk to me about? This is an alertness between you and God that you go through life. Be alert and sober of mind so you may pray. There's also a reaction against the prosperity gospel. This is a false system of teaching that's falsely reasons that God wants you always to be healthy, happy, and rich. All right, have you seen them on TV? You just send your seed gift of $100 and God will triple that. Awesome. I will send you feet that you can send, put your feet in my feet prints because that's extra magical. And I will send you more money. And you go, hold on. No, that's not the God of the Bible. That is not the God of the Bible. Because of that, we pull back and we don't want to ask him for things where he asks us to ask, just for our daily needs called bread. And so because of this, again and again and again, we back away from prayer. But prayer is a part of God's goodness to us. Prayer is a part of God's goodness to us because our Heavenly Father says, ask me. Please ask me. I want to show you how great I am. And in fact, Jesus says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Why? He just said, keep on doing it. I think because there are so many answers there in store if we would only ask. But God withholds because he wants us to ask, and then he will do, and then he gets the glory, doesn't he? Whenever a prayer answer is answered, you go, oh, God, you did that. You did that. How did you do that? Oh, God, thank you. And now we know it's for God's glory instead of things just happening all the time. And we become habituated to it. So God asks us to ask. Do you remember Moses praying? And there's this battle with Joshua and the Amalekites. And if Moses could hold up his arms, they would win. And if he let them down, they would lose, right? Well, doesn't God want the Israelites to win that battle? Go, Israelite, go. But he would do that only if in faith they would pray. And so guess what Moses did? He said, I can't carry the prayer burden myself. I need people around me. By the way, this is why we have a prayer summit. I need people around me to pray and lift this up. It's not just me. We all need to win this battle. And so God invites us to ask. And I want you to know the goodness of God of how he wants us to ask. Let's go over some ways real quick. God provides for us. He gives us our daily bread through prayer. I remember being in Poland on a missions trip. And there's a bunch of Canadian kids in Poland. And we met this one guy. And he was from Albania. We just struck up a conversation 10% more friendly. And as we're talking to him, he says, I've come from Albania to Poland to try and get a job. And the kids, we're just all pumped up on God's. We're going to pray that you get a job. So there's, a bunch of kids laying hands on him, praying that God would give him a job. And he said, this is like really weird. He wasn't a believer at all. He wasn't a Christian. But he said, okay, whatever. And so we prayed. He needed a job. And then we went off and built our, built a chapel off in another city. We went and did some more sort of street, dramas. We spoke at churches. At the end of the 10 days and we're back in Warsaw, we see the one guy in all of Warsaw, and we see him, and the kids go, whoa, and they're running across the street, be safe. And as they go across the street, they go, hey, how are you? Of course, the first thing, we say, did you get a job? He said, I got a job the very next day. And all of a sudden, he said, God is good. That's why we pray, right? Because we want our hearts to say, God is good. How many people in this room have had jobs because the community have come around and prayed. And you go, I probably could have got that job anyway. No, do not say that. You want to keep it, right? uh, first place, I was a youth pastor in upstate New York. And I was just really happy I was a youth pastor. Woo! I had no idea the money was really that bad. I don't know. First job, I thought $12,000 a year was a solid wage. It barely paid for the rent of the house. That's about it. And we had this car, and the car was a Dodge Arrow. It was just a Dodge, but it had stripes on it, so it looked cool. But it was so worn out, the alternator was gone. I think the oil pan was cracked. I didn't even know what an oil pan was, but I was putting in 4 quarts of oil a week, so that was probably not good. It wouldn't start, and so I'd phone up kids, let's go to the youth group, and then they'd come to the house, and they would have to push the car to get it going, and then I'd give them a ride. It was that bad. I remember thinking, I need a car. And so I was going to, looked at the finances, couldn't afford it. And so we said, well, let's pray, right? Let's pray. So we prayed. We didn't tell anybody. And within a very short time, we got this check on the desk that said, go buy yourself a car. They probably saw it, right? But I think it was God that showed them. And God tapped them and whispered, get him a car. God will provide for you. Guess what? I did not get a Lamborghini Countach. Putting that out there. I got a car. And God will provide for your needs. When you ask him, God not only provides for us through prayer. God cares for our hearts through prayer. He cares for your heart. He will send people. He will send ways to comfort you. So call out to him. Say, God, this is part of his goodness. Take care of my heart. Give me peace. Send whatever. I need you for my heart. He hears those prayers. And he is a good heavenly father that wants to give you heart healing. Heart healing. I remember I was a long time ago. I was this kid at a camp, and at Christian camps they overwork you all the time. And remember this one, we didn't have a day off. We just sort of worked all through the time. I was pretty exhausted near the end of the summer. And the camp's director, a good friend of mine, he had a friend that came from Chicago. I think at this time I was probably about 16, 17 years old. His friend was really old, like really old, probably 21, 22. When you're 16, it's like scary. They're in their 20s. And I remember the director said, can you go and look for my friend? And could you just like talk to him? He seemed like really depressed and I don't know where he went. I go, oh, come on. Like, can you send somebody older? What am I going to say to him? Ugh. And so I was very unenthusiastic. I went up and down this one row of cabins. His name was Bill. Hey, Bill, are you here? No. Went to the junior cabins. Bill, are you here? Well, I asked. And then I thought, I'm going to go down to the lakefront. I'm going to watch the sunset. I'm going to sit back and look under every grain of sand for Bill. So I went down to the beach. And as I hit the beach, I looked, and there was Bill. Rats. So I went over to Bill. And he was sitting down with his head, like, in between his knees. And I just sort of sat down beside him. He didn't say anything. This is so uncomfortable. So I patted his shoulders, you know, like very warm. And he starts crying. He starts heaving crying. And then I was really uncomfortable. And then he looks up with tears streaming down his face and says, Dave, I just thank God. Okay. I was so lonely down here. I asked God to send somebody to be with me, to listen. I could listen. At that moment, I realized this weird thought that I'm an answer to prayer. That's weird, isn't it? But then I realized the God of heaven and earth was not just interested in the Middle East. He listened to a man whose heart was broken. And
and sent this kid to him to sit and listen.
God provides through us through prayer, and it's his goodness. God cares for our hearts through prayer, and it is his goodness. God uses us in other people's lives, and that is for his glory, and that gives us a sense of this. God, this is so cool that you are using me. God answers those things through prayer. All right, there's this, when I was a youth pastor, there's this one guy, his name was Ryan, and he would, he's a football player, and his goal in high school football was to knock the high school football standard over, so he would ram into it every game. I think it dislodged something there. He might not have been the brightest young man. I remember he came away on a retreat with us. And he was there, and I was trying to tell him he needed Jesus, and he says, "I know, Dave, but I just want God to talk to me." Well, you know, he sent Jesus, and he speaks through his word. "Yeah, but I just want him to talk to me." Well, you know, wow, he's going to, you know, break through and speak through the clouds or something. "Yeah!" I didn't know what to say. What do you say, right? Ask him. Ask him. Ask him to talk to you. What's it going to sound like? I don't know. You'll know. This is so cool. He says, "Okay, God. Dave says you're real. Talk to me." Amen. Okay. So the retreat's over and we're driving home. He's in another car and we get out at the church. And he comes running to me full tilt. "Dave, God spoke to me." And I'm looking at the other people in the car, and they're like shaking their heads, like, "Yeah." I go, "What happened?" He says, "We're driving along, and I was looking up to the clouds saying, 'God, will you just like speak to me through the clouds?'" He says, "All of a sudden, I saw clouds." And he said, there's this big fat one going right up, like a goalpost. And then another one, and then one that connected it. And then there's another one here, just like a fat one. And then there's a dot on top of the fat one. I said, like, "High?" "Yeah! It was high in the clouds." I'm looking at the other people. They said, "We were looking for the skywriting plane. It was so distinct. It said high." So Ryan, what did you do? I said hi back to God. God will hear any of you, okay? Any of you. Ryan eventually came to Jesus Christ as his Savior. I get to spend forever with him. It's awesome. Truly awesome. Sometimes the answers are immediate. Sometimes it takes perseverance. Sometimes God knows better. But here's the thing. I believe for each one of us, faith grows by focusing on God's goodness. And then it shrivels when we obsess about our problems. That's a quote from Peter Gregg, who wrote a book called God, I'm Mute. I'm going to ask our worship team to come on up. And what I'd like us to do right now is actually practice this. May I suggest a way for you to pray? You know, there's different sort of acronyms and stuff, whatever acronym you want to use. Here's what I want you to do. Even if you're not a believer, if you're on the way to God, come on, give it a try. What's going to hurt, right? Start off by thanking God for something. That's it. Every time you pray, start by thanking God for something. Every time. If you're going, "Oh, God, help. Oh, hold on. I've got to thank you for something first. And then I've got to thank you for something. And now I'm going to pray and ask you." Okay. What we're going to do, we're going to take a little bit of time. And what I want you to do is thank God for something. And then ask him. Thank him. Then ask him. That's why at our prayer summit, we always start with praise. And then we end up. Even if you're on your way to God, even if you don't believe there's a God, try it. Just try it. Just thank him. And maybe you could ask him to show himself to you. Let's pray. Some time of silence to pray.
God, I thank you. Thank you for your continual goodness that chases us down. It's enough that I'm alive and that you've given me a beautiful world to live in. And you have forgiven me and counted me perfect with the saints. It is more than enough that I get a living relationship with you, and now you ask me to ask you. Your goodness just comes in waves and waves and waves. Give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear about your goodness. In Jesus' holy name, amen.